Okay, we're going to learn Daf Mem Ches in Masechtas Nedarim. We're going to start from the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Zayin Mem Beis. That's where we're going to start, four lines from the bottom. The Mishnah says as follows. Hareini Alecha Cheirim. If a person says, I want to be on you as a Cheirim, what does that mean? Cheirim means that, well, when you donate something to the Beis HaMikdash, one of the ways you say it as it's called a cherim. Now, the Ran does point out that we're talking about up in the Galil, because if you remember a while back, we learned all the way Daf Yud Ches, which was a long time ago, we learned that in Yehuda, when you use the word cherim, you mean a donation to the Kohanim, because you used to see Kohanim sitting around by you. Whereas up in Galil, there weren't so many Kohanim, because the Kohanim, for the most part, concentrated and lived primarily around the Beis HaMikdash. So up in the Galil, you didn't see Kohanim so much. So when you say the word Cheirim, you mean donations to the Beis HaMikdash. In any event, the same way we've been discussing till now the word Kohanim, so now we're discussing the word Cheirim. So when I say, I want to be on you Cheirim, that means my property to you, vis-a-vis you, should be considered like a donation to the Beis HaMikdash, which would make it Aser. So then, the halacha, the Mishnah says, is very simple. Amudar Aser. So the one who was the subject of that neder is going to be Aser, is not going to be allowed to use that property. Now, if the same person continues and says, Hare at alai cheirim, or it's not a continuation, it's actually he changes. He now says, I am upon you a cheirim, meaning your property is usher to me as if you made your property cheirim. Hanoider usher, then the one who made the neder is going to be usher. Your property now, vis-a-vis me, the way I see my view of it, and the way I see it is that it's cheirim, so I'm not allowed to use it. Okay, those are very simple halachas. Now the Mishnah adds an interesting level. Hareini alecha ve'at alai. What if you can't take from me and I can't take from you? Shneim asurim. They're both asur, obviously, because I just made them both asur. However, v'shneim mutarim b'davar shel oile bavel. They're both going to be mutter with those things that are used by everybody who's going up to bavel.
National property.
But
national property.
However, so that's not so much of a chiddush because it doesn't belong to either of them. But now, when we see the next line, the Mishnah puts everything in perspective. Now, on the top of Mem Chesem and Aleph, the Mishnah continues. Va'asurim b'davar shel oisei ha'ir. However, they are usur in those things that belong to the city. So, one second, we just contradicted ourselves. Are we permitted in public property, or are we not permitted in public property?
No,
so the Ran explains. Ran explains that when you're dealing with oisei ha'ir, the truth of the matter is everybody who lives in that city. Now, don't imagine a city with 10 million people in it. Imagine a city with maybe 1,000 people or 3,000 people. A relatively big but small city where everybody has a chilek in the city. Everybody contributes to how we're running the city. Everybody actually owns. In fact, the Ran says, and that's the halacha, that in a city, the Tovei Ha'ir, the people, the board members, if you want to call them the council members, who are controlling the city, cannot sell anything without the permission of the city. They have to do it b'maimed anshei ha'ir, in front of everybody else. So we see that everybody from the city has a partial ownership. It might be insignificant and inconsequential, but lemaisa, they do own it. And once I own it, that means that me and you, both of us, assuming that we both live in this city, I made a duster. I can't use yours, you can't use mine. So therefore, since we are ownership, that's why we're not allowed to use it. As opposed to, so now, we have to compare and contrast. So then how come what was permitted for the Oile Bavel was mutter? That also belongs to everybody. So if belonging to everybody is considered a partial belonging to me, so why is it mutter for me to use those things that the Oile Bavel are using? The answer is, because Oile Bavel is when those things that are put there for public use are put there as hefker. Hefker in the sense, not a hefker in the sense that I could take it away from anybody else, but hefker in the sense that it is available for the public for anybody's use, but in a hefker manner. Not everybody's contributing, but it's there. Okay, and that's the difference between Oisei Ha'ir. Oisei Ha'ir is within the small city I have an ownership. When the Oile Bavel is hefker for a certain purpose, but hefker for those people who need it while they're traveling up to Yerushalayim for, let's say, the Regalim and things like that. Okay?
Hefker?
At the bottom run, the last run on the bottom of Mem Zayin Mem Beis, Mutarim B'davar Shel Oile Bavel Shehefkirum. Okay, so it's a hefker. So it's a hefker, and that's why the Gemara is going to ask.
It's not national property. It's like there's no.
It's not national property. It's no ownership. It's hefker. It's hefker for a certain purpose. Okay. It's not hefker that I could just take it and take it home with me. It's not meant, you know, for me to take. Yes, it's true that anybody is allowed to take a coffee cup from the coffee room in shul. That doesn't mean you could go into the, you can go into the coffee room and take a stack of cups and bring them home. That's not the level of hefker we're talking about over here. So without going into exactly how that's designed, but the bottom line is, there's a difference between something that's public, available for public use because it's hefker for people to use versus the use of the city, which is something that is used publicly, but it's public, but it's owned publicly, and therefore so there's a difference. There might be a difference between a state park or a county park, a city park versus a national park. Right. Now that we've differentiated between, so to speak, national Oile Bavel versus the city. So, what do we consider, what constitutes something that belongs to the public, that belongs to everybody? Kegoin, Har Habayis. Everybody's allowed to go on the Har Habayis, the Azoris and the Har Habayis, the Habor Shabem Saderach. So this is the example that everybody likes to think about. The idea, there was water on the side of the roads, because as people were traveling, I mean, you're in the middle of nowhere, your animals need to eat. And, those water pits that were made available for people who were traveling, that was considered open for everybody, and anybody's allowed to use it. So even if you made a nether, anybody and everybody is allowed to use it. Okay, in contrast, so what are those things that belong to the members of the city? Again, for public use, for the city use, but for the belong to the city, Kegoin Harchova, the square, the city square, the Hamerchas, they had a bathhouse that everybody used, Ubeis HaKnesses, and the shul, like we discussed earlier in the beginning of the parak, that the shul is considered something that cannot be divided, it belongs to everybody, the HaTeva. Now over here, the Ran defines the word Teva to mean the Bima, where they put the Sefer Torah down to lane from, the HaSvarim, and those Svarim that are everybody learns from, that are in the shul. So those are things that belong to the shul, which belongs to the people of that city. And therefore, if there's a nether, the people involved in the nether are not allowed to use it. Now, I'm going to read the Mishnah incorrectly first. So, in the Havamina of the Gemara understands that anybody who writes his property, donates his property to the Nasi, to the one running the country, also is considered privately owned. That's how the Gemara reads it in the Havamina of the Gemara. The Gemara reads this as another example of something that's owned by the people of the city. Anything that I donate to the Nasi is still considered partially owned, but be allowed to be used by the Nasi. Eventually the Gemara is going to realize that that's not actually a continuation of the list of examples, but rather this is the explanation of how do we get out of this problem. Okay, so the real way to read it, V'akosev chalka the Nasi, as we'll read in the Gemara, means that now that you have this problem, that you have things that are owned collectively by everybody in the city, so now these people under the nether are not going to be able to use anything. So what's the Eitzah? How do you get around this problem? So the answer is you donate it, you now take that piece of your portion of the city, and you donate it to the Nasi, you make it a national property, and therefore, it's again, it goes into the category of the national property, which doesn't belong to anybody. It's hefker for everybody's use, and now it's not usur. You don't own it anymore. So it's mutter. Okay, so now that we have established that giving it to the Nasi, so to speak, as we call it, for our vernacular, we call it making it the national property. So therefore, it's not usur. So the Mishnah continues on that discussion, on the fifth line from the top on the Mishnah. Rabbi Huda Oimer, Rabbi Huda says, no, if the point is that you're really giving away the property to somebody else so that it's not privately owned anymore, so echad koisiv lenasi ve'echad koisiv lehedrit, really it doesn't have to be given to the nasi. You don't have to give it to the public per se. You don't have to give it to the nasi who's in charge of the public. You can give it to anybody, to your friend. Ma ben koisiv lenasi lekoisiv lehedrit, but what's the difference between the two? Sha koisiv lenasi ein sarich lizkois. When you write it to the Nasi, just writing the shtar that I am donating, it automatically makes it his. Whereas lahedjoy tzorich liskois, when you write it to your friend, it's not really, even though I say I'm going to give it to you, it's not really his, since he's a private citizen, it's not really his until he makes a kinyan. He has to make a kinyan. So that's why the Mishnah uses the example of the Nasi, because I take care of it immediately. I don't need a second step. Whereas if I give it to somebody else, which accomplishes exactly the same thing, what I'm doing is I'm no longer the owner. I'm giving my ownership to somebody else. The point is it belongs to somebody, and we've learned this rule already. This concept is not really a chiddush of this Mishnah, because we've already learned that even if something is usur, once I give it to a third party, that property now belongs to a third party, is not part of the neder anymore. It's only usur as long as it belonged to me. So giving it to a third party takes care of that problem. So therefore, but the only point, the point of this Mishnah is, the side point, that there's a difference in way I donate it to a private person versus donating it to the hedgin. Donating it to the Nasi. So on that note, that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. The Chachamim argue, and they say, no, there's no such thing as giving it to the Nasi, it's automatically his just by merely writing it to him. No, it needs to be, make a kinyan on it like anything else. So if there's no difference, like Dibru Nasi, we only discuss giving it to the Nasi because that was the practical way things were done. That's what used to happen more commonly. And the Ran throws in a very interesting explanation. He says, because they didn't really, especially if these guys were making Nadarim back and forth, they didn't give it to a third party, to another member of the city, let's say, or a third party, because you'd be concerned that the same problem is going to come up, that third party, who is a private individual, might also make a neder and make it usur. And we're trying to do it, and the Nasi is not somebody who's on your level, who's going to be starting making nedarim back and forth on specific individuals and so on. So that's what the Ran says. I find that very interesting, that you have the mentality of a kind of person who's making nedarim and making you usur and making me usur and this type. So he thinks that the same way I'm making these nedarim, if I give it to Ruvain, this other guy, he's also going to start making these nedarim. So I don't want to give it to him. I give it to the Nasi. The Nasi's not into this type of stuff, so that I'm safe. I can give it to him. Anybody's the Nasi. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, whatever. The
Nasi is like king, or the.
The Mishnah now continues and concludes and says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Anshe Galil Tzrichen Lichtoiv. The people who lived in Galil, they didn't have to write currently. They didn't have to write over their property over to the Nasi. Why Shekvar Kosu Abaseyen Al Yedein? Because their fathers already took care of this, as the Ran explains, because apparently there was a lot of machlekes in Galil for whatever reason. It doesn't explain why, but there was a lot of machlekes, and people were constantly doing this. So they said, you know what, to solve this problem of people making nedarim and making each other usur to live in the city and making it impossible to live together, so we'll just solve the solution here by, well, they already took care of writing their property to the Nasi. Now everything belongs to the Nasi, so the city didn't belong on the private level. The city was already in the, so to speak, on the public level. And therefore, it doesn't belong to us. It doesn't belong to us. We can't make an eder. If we make an eder, that's not what's going to be included in the neder. Okay, that takes care of the Mishnah. So, Zok the Gemara, very simple Gemara. Amai Mitzer. So the Gemara asks, very ambiguous, really, why is it usur? So what are we talking about over here? The Gemara is really referring to that line in the Mishnah that I told you. When you originally read the way the Mishnah is written, it sounds like Va'koseb Chalka Lenasi is another example of something that belongs to the city and therefore is usur. So the Gemara's question is, why is it usur? I don't understand. Once I write it over to the Nasi, it doesn't belong to the city anymore, or it's not my portion of it doesn't belong to me anymore as a part of the city because I gave it to somebody else. So why should it be usur? That's the Gemara's question. The way to read the Mishnah is like this. So after we gave the list of those things that belong to the city, meaning belonging to the individuals, the private individuals of the city, and therefore when you make an eder, it's like my private property and it's usur. So ma takanosan, how do I fix that problem? How do I get around the problem? Because we got to both live in the city now. The answer is what the Mishnah says. Yichtavu chelkon l'nasi. That's when you write your chelik over to the Nasi, and now it doesn't belong to you anymore. It doesn't belong. So really, you're not writing over the city's property. You're writing over your portion of the city's property. So if everybody in the city does it, obviously it now belongs to national, but at least my portion of it belongs to the Nasi, so it's not mine anymore. Now the Gemara just quotes the rest of the rest of the Mishnah in this context. So the Gemara says, I'll read the words of the Gemara, although sometimes we skip the parentheses, but here I'm going to read it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Echa Kosev L'Nasi, V'Echa Kosev L'Hedra. So now that we understand, see, the Gemara is repeating it, I think, even though the Gilyon does say that these words are extra, and they're really just repeating the words of the Mishnah, but I think if you read the Mishnah incorrectly the first time, so then those words, Rabbi Yehuda, the Machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rabbanon, and the Chacham sounded very random. But now that you know the correct pshat, which is the way we actually read the Mishnah, we read the Mishnah already correctly the way the Gemara Lumaskana understands it. But now that you understand it, these words make more sense, which is why I believe the Gemara rewrote the words, even though it's just a direct quote of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Echa Kosev L'Nasi, V'Echa Kosev L'Hedra. The truth of the matter is, if your whole point is just to put it into the hands of a third party, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't have to be the Nasi, it could be a Hedra. Uma ben Kosev L'Nasi, the Kosev L'Hedra. So what's the difference? A Kosev L'Nasi and Tzarech Lizkos, you don't have to make a Kinyan about Kosev L'Hedra, Tzarech Lizkos, as opposed to doing a Hedra, a regular person has to make a Kinyan. And on that note, the Chacham Omer and the Chacham argue, so now there's like a side point over here. Echa Zev, Echa really, even the Nasi has to make a kinyan. Somebody on behalf of the Nasi has to make a kinyan in order to take it out of your rishus. They only use the Nasi because that was the common practice. If you're going to give it to anybody, you're going to give it to the Nasi. You're not going to give it to somebody else. In any event, okay, the point of the Mishnah is, and this is the way the Gemara clarifies, is that you're right. While it belongs to the city, while it belongs to the individuals of the city, it's going to be us, or it's like his property, like any other property. And you have to give it to a third party in order for it to become mutter. Then, now the Gemara continues with the next quote of the Mishnah. The next quote of the Mishnah is, or the end of the Mishnah is, Rabbi Yehuda Omer ein anshe Galil tzrichin lizkos. In the people in that lived in cities in Galil, they didn't even have to give it to the Nasi anymore. Why? Shekvar kosvu avoisein al yidein, because their fathers already took care of this. The fathers already took care of this and gave it away, so it doesn't belong to the individuals. So Memelo, even if they made an edda, that's not what they own, and it's going to be mutter to the subject of the neder. Tanya, so we learned in a brisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Anshe Galil Kantronim Havu. They were people who used to fight a lot. V'hayu Noidrin Hano Zemizeh. And they would go ahead and they would make nidarim all the time. This was making, you know, they were assuring this, assuring that. So since they did this on a regular basis, Amdu Avasein v'kosvu chelkehen l'nasi. So their fathers already went and gave their, donated everything to the Nasi, gave all their portions to the Nasi. So again, this is just a clarification of what the Mishnah is saying, that they did this because they had a problem. This is what I think is the Mishnah is saying, is that you don't have to necessarily do this. But if it becomes a problem, if it becomes common, which it was in the Galil, so they took care of the problem in the Avasein already, their fathers already donated it, so that now by the time they live in the city, and they don't own the city anymore, and therefore even if they make an eder, it's not going to be also, because there's no private ownership. Okay. Fine. So, one thing that I do have to point out that the Ran points out is very interesting is that the way, in the conclusion, the way this Mishnah fits into the Perek, we really started the Perek with the Machlokes between Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov and the Rabbanon when you have a field that can't be split. And I make a Hanazah, whether it's going to be Asur or it's going to be Mutter. If you remember, if you recall, The Mishnah itself said Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov held that it was mutter, and the example of a chotzer that couldn't be split was a Beis HaKnesses, which is what we're discussing over here in this Mishnah. So the Ran does point out that therefore this Mishnah only comes out according to the Rabbanon that says it can't be split and that it's going to be usher, and that's why you have to give it away. But if you held like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in the original Mishnah, the first Mishnah from the Perek, then this whole halacha that this Mishnah is discussing, that the shul is usher, wouldn't be relevant, because according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, a shul can't be split, and if somebody else makes an eder on me, that doesn't prohibit me from going into the shul. That's the chotzer that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, shutvin and a chotzer can't aser the chotzer one on another. So this Mishnah only works out according to the Chachamim, not according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. But what's interesting about that is that we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, as the Ran says. So this Mishnah, according to the Ran, is not relevant. Although he does say that the Rambam does paskin like this Mishnah, so he says, and the Ramban already asks, there's a kasha on the Rambam, like how do you paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, but also paskin like this Mishnah, if this Mishnah is exactly the example that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov it would be mutter.
Don't you paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov?
Yeah. Continuing now with the next Mishnah. So the classic example, which we already had before, is somebody makes an eder that his friend is not allowed to have any hana from him, which, and that means I can't give him food, I can't give him anything. But now we're in a situation where he doesn't have food. So what do? The Mishnah says, "Nosna la'acher l'shum matana." You give it to a third party as a matana. That now that third party is now the owner. V'halom mutarba. And now the guy who is usher, who is until now prohibited from eating it, is mutter, because it doesn't belong to the original owner that made the neder. It belongs to a third party. It's going to be mutter. And the Mefarshim talk about why this Mishnah repeats exactly the same halacha that we already saw. And there are those that say that the other Mishnah is the Iker, and this is just repeating it for the story we're about to tell. And there are those that say, no, this Mishnah is the Iker, and because of the new halacha that we're going to establish, there are those that say that both Mishnahs are really teaching us different halachas, because this Mishnah is discussing when we're both here in town locally, versus the Mishnah last time was discussing when we're on the road, and why we need two Mishnahs to teach us those different scenarios. Okay, each one has its own chiddush. Okay, but the point is, yes, this is definitely a repetition of a halacha that we've already seen in Masechtas Nedor. In any event, right, this is on Daf Mem Gimel, not so long ago. Okay, but the Mishnah continues, and this is where it gets interesting. Maisa Be'echa Be'beis Chayrin. So this is called Maisa Be'es Chayrin. That's the name of this story. There was a story once that happened in the city of Be'es Chayrin. Shehaya Aviv Nudar Heimenu Hano. So what happened was the son of a father. So the son made an eder that his father was not allowed to have any hana from him. Okay, it happens. But now this son who made the eder is making a chasana, marrying off his son. And at this point, he wants his father to be able to come to the chasana. So he says to his other random friend, he says, So I'm going to read the Gersa in the Mishnah, which is, I am giving you, I'm donating to you the courtyard and the meal. I'm giving you everything that has to do with this chasana to you. I'm giving it to you, the third party. Now he says these words, right? This is the Gersa that we have, and this is the version that we're going to read. And I'm giving it to you so that you could be that third party, so that my father can come to the Suda. So he says very clearly what his intentions are, that he's only giving it away to the third party so that his father can come. Omar, so this person says, Im Shalihem, if the party really belongs to me, fine. If you're telling me that you're giving it to me because you want it to come, you want your father to come, then, and that's the way the Mepharshim say. The Mepharshim say that this is how he responds. He says, if you're giving it to me because you want your father to come, then I'm taking it. If you really want it to be mine, then I'm taking it and I'm donating it to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm making it hektish. I'm giving it away. I'm not keeping it. It's my property. Amar Lei, so of course this son says, now here you have to change the gear, so loy. You have to add in the word loy, lamed aleph. Okay? Loy nosati lecha es shali shetakta shushamayim. No, I didn't give you my property so you should give it away. I'm giving you my property so that you should use it for what I'm giving it to you for. I'm not really giving it to you. I'm giving it to you only for a certain purpose. Amar Lei, so the friend responded and says, loy nosati li es shalcha. So then you didn't really give me your property. So you only gave me the property so that your father can come, so that you and your father can drink together. And you should get close together. And then you're going to have this aver. Meaning, you made the neder, and the neder is that you're not allowed to give him ano. If you're not really giving it to me, only to find a loophole so that your father could come, then you're not really giving it to me. And if you're not really giving it to me, then you're being over on your neder, and that's the aver that he said, toli barosha, oven toli barosha. So you're not really giving it to me, then if I can't do what I want, then you didn't really give it to me. Which is exactly what the rule that the Gemara creates, Amru Chachamim, the Mishnah concludes, the Chachamim say, kol matana, any matana, she'eno, that it's not true. She'im hekdisha tehei mukdeshes, that if the recipient, the third party, was not able to make it hektish, in a matana, it's not considered a matana. And the way the Mefarshim, the Ran learns in the Gemara, the way he explains this is, what he's saying is, that you never really gave it to me. It's not pshat that you gave it to me and I don't have control, so your control is really shows that it really belongs to you. What he's saying is, if I don't have control to do with it what I want, then you never gave it to me in the first place and it still belongs to you in its entirety. That's the way the Ran is masber this Gemara. Okay? So, alright, so that's the Mishnah. Really, this is along the lines. The Gemara immediately asks, "Maisa lister?" So you're bringing a story. Usually, when you're bringing a story in a controversial halacha, the point of the story is to prove and to back up the halacha that we're about to say. And here, it seems that the story contradicts the halacha, because the halacha that we just established was that it works, that I could give it as an matana, and then the mudur is allowed to come. That's the halacha. The halacha is to give it as a matana and then it could come. And then we bring this whole convoluted story to tell us that no, it didn't work. That he wasn't going to get away with giving it as a matana. So why would we bring a story which contradicts the halacha? So the Gemara says, you're right. Chasurim echzer v'hachi ketani, there are words from this Mishnah that are missing, and the way to read it is as follows. V'im oichiach soifoi al tchila osoi osur. But if it's obvious that the reason why you're doing it is in order to just circumvent and do the loophole in a way that you're not really giving a matana, really you do want to give it to him and just using it as a loophole, then it's taka, then it's asr. Umay tsunami beis chayrin, and that story, and that, now we can bring the story with beis chayrin ve'achod to have a seifa mukhiach al tchilasai. That over there was a, here's a story that proves the asr side, which is, and if I know that the reason why I'm doing this is really just to give it to him, but I don't want to say I'm giving it to him, so then it's going to be asr. Okay. So sometimes it's mutter, sometimes it's asr, as long as I don't say what I'm trying to accomplish, or as long as it's not obvious what I'm trying to accomplish. Okay. So Omar Rava. Now this is important, the way we're going to read this line in Rava, because this is actually going to be the last line of the Gemara at the end of the parak. So you have to pay attention to what the Gemara says over here. Omar Rava, lo yishanu ela da Omar Lei, where he says the words, v'hinon lifanecha, that I'm giving it to you, ela kedei sheyavai abo. I'm giving it to you. I said this at the time. This is machlokes rishona, whether you have to actually say it at the time or you said it later. The point is that you said very clearly that you're giving it to you for that purpose so that my father can come. In other words, you're really saying beferish what you're trying to, the thing that's usur that you're trying to accomplish over here. You're trying to get around the loophole. So the Rav is saying like this. Don't say that the case of this Mishnah is limited to when I spelled it out. But as opposed to where I said, I'm giving it to you, by the way, it would be a nice thing if my father came. If you want to invite my father, you could, but I'm not telling you what to do. Right? So let me read this through. But when he says, but if he says that, sorry. You have to read this one. Lo yishanu ela da amar lei. The only time that this case of the Mishnah is that it's aser is if I said v'avina lefanecha k'deish yavei abba, that I said beferis that I want my father to come. Aval amar lei. But if I said it in a different way, I said sheyel lefanecha sheyavei abba midaitchahu da amar lei. But if I said it would be nice if my father could come, it would be a lovely situation. So then that's not going to be aser. Meaning the way this first girsa of Rava is that the only time it's usher is if I actually explicitly said that I'm looking for this loophole. I spelled it out and I said that I want my father to come. I'm not really giving it to you other than to avoid the Yisr Hano. So that's when it's going to be usher. That's the first lashon of Rava. However, Lishna Achrina, this is the one we want to focus on. The second way version of Rava's statement is like this. Amrinon. There's another way we said this. Amar Rava. Rava's point was like this. Don't say that it's only usr because I said it explicitly. But if I just said, hey, it's yours. But it would be nice if my father would become mutter, that it would be mutter. All of this is one sentence. Don't say that. Don't say that. If I said, oh, it would be nice if my father would come, it would be mutter. Ella, rather, the correct halacha is, afilu amarle hein lefanecha, even if I said it's yours, yavayaba v'yoychol, and if my father wants to come, he could come, that's his night, aser, it's still going to be aser. The bottom line is, the halacha is still going to be aser. My time, and why is that aser, even though I didn't say it beferish? So the answer is, sudasa mechacha solav. Because now that you're doing the Suda is clearly for the purpose, it's a Suda's Chasana, where the purpose is that everybody should come. And who's making the Chasana? This son is making the Chasana. So it's Muchach that the son is making the Chasana, and he's giving it to this guy just so that his father could come. So even saying it in a random way, in a abstract way, you know, we're used to, like Amir al-Akam, we're used to doing the hinting thing. Even if I do the hinting, you'd say, well, I didn't really say it. Over here, it's so clear, but it's the Suda, what's going on over here, that even doing a little bit of a hint, and again, this is where you have the Machlekes Rishon, and whether you have to say something, or you can say nothing, or now, later, whatever, but even a little bit of a hint is already enough to sort of go over the line, and it's going to be Aser, it's going to continue to be Aser. So according to this Girsa and Rava, I don't have to say, I want my father to come, even if I sort of hint to the fact that it would be nice if my father's able to come, now that I gave it to you, that's already enough, because the situation is enough, spells out clearly what he's trying to accomplish. Okay, so we'll leave it at that for now, and we're going to say that case is also, according to this Lashon, this Lishna Achrina is also going to be Aser. Okay, now let's change topics for a moment on the top of Mem Chesem Beis. The Gemara now brings a different random story. Ahu Gavro, there was a father, there was this guy, Dehavele Bro, Dehave Shomet Kipi De Kisna. That he had a son who was a little bit of God, he was a kleptomaniac, that the son would constantly stealing, Kipi De Kisna means clumps of flax. That he was taking, and it seems from the Mefarshim that he was stealing specifically from the father. So the father was very not happy with this son. Okay? So Asrinu Lenichseyale, so the father said, you know what? I'm making an eder that my property is now going to be usher to this son. Amrule, but his friends said to him, people said to him, the Havi Barbaruch Turbim Rabbanan Mai, but what if it turns out that your grandson is a Talmud Chacham? So I get it. You don't want to give it to your son because your son is, you know, this bad guy, this bum over here who's stealing from you. You're not happy with him. But by not giving it to your son, you're cutting off generations to come. What if it turns out that your grandson is a Talmud Chacham and you would want to give it to your grandson? So Amar Lahoin, so this guy, the father answered them, Liknei Hadain, okay, let him have this. It's a girsa over here, whether it's loy likni or likni, whatever. The point of the story is like this: let him have it in a manner so that not that he owns it. V'have barbari tzurbim rabbanon liknaya, and so that if he does have a grandson, if he does have a son that turns out to be my grandson that turns out to be a talmud chacham, then he should give it to him. In other words, I'm not giving it to him to own it. He's not allowed to own it at all, but rather, I'm giving it to him only in the sense that he can hold on to it, let's say, as a trustee, for eventually being able to give it to his son, if his son turns out to be a Talmud Chacham, somebody I want to give it to. But if not, if he doesn't have a Talmud Chacham, if he doesn't have a son that's any good, then Enachnami, it goes back to the brother. So the Ran says that the situation over here is like this. Now the Ran has a very interesting and unique way of explaining this Gemara. The way the Ran is explaining is that there were two brothers, one was good, one was bad. He didn't want to give it to the bad, so he really wanted to give everything to the good son. That was the purpose of making the nether. And when everybody said to him, but what about your grandchildren? So he said, fine, I'll let my son, the bad son, hold on to it for the purpose, sole purposes of giving it to the grandson, which did not yet exist. At the time, the father was about to pass away. So he said, otherwise the grandfather could have given it directly to the grandson. So the situation has to be that the grandson didn't exist yet. He was only hoping that eventually there'll be a turnaround and there will be this great grandson
who did exist, but he wasn't young.
So, but the interesting, unique thing about the way the Ran learns is that he was giving it to the son, but not to own it. He was giving it to the son only as a pass-through, as a trustee for the grandson. So now the Gemara says, What would be the halacha in that situation? Does that work that the son doesn't own it for his own purposes? He owns it only as a trustee for the grandson. What would be the halacha? So Amri Pumpadisai, so the people of Pumpadisa said, Kani Amanas Lahaknaisu, this is a classic case of I'm only making a kinyan for the purpose of giving it over. And if my kinyan, the purpose of my kinyan is just to hold on to something so that I can give it to something, somebody else, that is not a valid kinyan. Meaning like this. I can always make a kinyan to own something. But ownership means I have to have some sort of benefit, some sort of direct control and benefit from it. If the purpose of my ownership is only to give somebody else a benefit, then I didn't own anything. Yeah. I have to own something. Right. So this son is not owning anything. His only ownership is the right to give it to his grandson, to give it to his own son. So that's not considered I'm not making a kinyan on anything. There's nothing tangible that I'm making a kinyan on. I'm only making a kinyan on the rights to be able to be makne to somebody else. Therefore, the Pumpadisai say, This is the concept. The Pumpadisai say, that's not a kinyan. I have to have a real ownership. When I make a kinyan, I have to have a real ownership. And let's take this apart now as we go through the Gemara. That's the Pumpadisai say it doesn't work. However, Rav Nachman Amar Koni, he says it does work. Why? And I'll prove to you this concept works. And I'll prove it. The Hasudra Koni Amanas Lahaknesu. Because Sudra, in the case of a handkerchief, which we otherwise refer to as the kinyan of Chalipin, works where all you're doing is you're making a kinyan for the purposes of making another kinyan. Now, what is the case of a sudur? So you have a landowner. I'm going to try to use terminology so that it's less confusing. You have a landowner, somebody who owns a piece of property, he's trying to sell the property. Now, there's various ways that he could sell the property, but they decided that they're going to do a kinyan chalipin. Kinyan chalipin we're most familiar with, most of us are familiar with the idea, when we go to sell our chametz, the rav gives us, you know, a yarmulke or a handkerchief, and you pick up the handkerchief and you make a kinyan on it, and that's how you transfer. But over there, it's a different type of kinyan, because over there, you're really making him a shliach, you're not actually giving him the objects. Okay, but the point is like this. The point, that's what we're familiar with, the Maisa Kinyan, a Chalipin. So the Chalipin over here is that you have a landowner who wants to sell the property. And let's say the property is not local, so I can't go and do the usual chazakas of putting up a fence or closing the door or whatever it is that the normal process of doing a chazak is. So instead, the purchaser gives the landowner his yarmulke and says, make a kinyan on my yarmulke, and by virtue of doing this maisa kinyan, this act of kinyan of picking up my yarmulke, that should be the kinyan that allows you to transfer the property to me. That is what a kinyan chalipin is. Chalipin is we're swapping, but it does. But so the difference is that normally in a swap it's fine. You take my thing, I take your thing. Here, when I hand you the yarmulke, and you do the maisa kinyan, you're then going to give me back the yarmulke. Right? You're not really taking the yarmulke and saying, oh, I'm paying you a $5 yarmulke for your $1 million property. That's not really what's happening over here. It's just an act. It's an act of picking up the yarmulke. Now, if the way Rav Nachman sees that, so then really what you're doing is this is merely an act for the purpose of making a different kinyan. Because you're not really owning the yarmulke. There's no ownership over here. If you want to make the similarity over here, the way Rav Nachman sees this, is that I'm also doing the same thing. I'm just doing an act where I'm making a kinyan, where the sole purpose of that is really to make a different kinyan, which is to give you the property. And therefore, and we see that kinyan sudur works in that context. So mamela, therefore Rav Nachman shita is, that therefore kinyan al-manas lahaknois works, and therefore I can also own something if my sole purpose is really not, I don't own anything, and my sole purpose is just to be giving property or giving something, in this case the grandson, giving something else. Okay, so that's Rav Nachman Shita. Now regardless of what Rav Ashi in the next line is about to do, and so to speak, ask questions on Rav Nachman doesn't change his Shita. This is Rav Nachman Shita. Rav Ashi has his kashas, but Rav Nachman doesn't agree. Rav Nachman says it's fine. But let's look at Rav Ashi's questions. Rav Ashi's questions seem to be pretty predictable. I'm Rav Ashi. Uman lemelon de surja itafis loy matvis. So first of all, who says that if I want to keep the handkerchief, I can't keep it? Meaning, you're looking at it, this is what Rav Ashi's response is. Rav Ashi, so to speak, is defending the Pumpadusoi Shita. He's defending the Shita that it shouldn't work. He's saying, by sudra is very different, because by sudra, when I pick up that yarmulke and I make a kinyan on that yarmulke, technically that yarmulke is mine. So I did make a kinyan on something. If I want to walk away and I want to walk out of the room, take the yarmulke with me, I can. I'm allowed to. Again, you can argue about whether that's true or not true, but the point is that I could. According to Ravashi, at least, you certainly could. So if I could, then I made a kinyan on something. Now, once I made a kinyan on something, then I can make a kinyan on something else. But I could make, but I've made a kinyan on something, as opposed to your case, where the grand, where he's literally just holding on to nothing for the sake of giving a kinyan later. But he has no ownership in it now. And no ownership, that's not gonna be considered. Now again, Rav Nachman has a response to this. Rav Nachman's saying that by the kinyan suda, you're really also just doing an act. You're not really owning the handkerchief. But Rav Ashi, from his perspective, is saying, I do own the handkerchief. I decide to give it back. I can give it back. But Lamaisa, I own the handkerchief, and therefore I really made a real kinyan. That's one argument. Va'oid, and the second argument is, there's a very big difference between Chalipin and the way Chalipin works and the way this progressive type of kinyan will work. Sudra, kani amanas lahaknois, v'kani min hashta. When you're doing a kinyan sudur, everything is happening right now. As I'm doing the kinyan, the swap is happening. I'm taking the handkerchief, you're taking the field, all of it is happening in the existence, in the moment that I'm making the ma'isa kinyan. Now, when you want to make a ma'isa kinyan, generally speaking, you have to have the object of the kinyan has to exist. Halein, but in this case, where, in other words, where he's giving the grandchild, nichsin da hadein le'emas koni, when is the grandchild going to be koina? When is he eventually going to get it? L'chi have bar berei tzurbim rabbonim. When it turns out that there is a tamach chacham, a grandchild. L'chi have, but when that happens, hodah sudra lamari, at that point already, the handkerchief is long gone. The ma'isa kinyan is long gone. So if it's happening now, and everything, the chalois is happening now, the ma'isa, the objects are all here, so then I understand why it could work. By chalipin, everything is happening. This is, you just need a showmanship of act, an act that creates the kinyan. So now, and then as soon as I see this, I know that who the owner is. But by the grandfather, by the time the grandchild gets the property, the kinyan, the ma'isa kinyan is long gone. Who's going to remember that 30 years ago there was once upon a time the son made a kinyan to, so that 30 years later he can make a ma'isa kinyan. So there's no real comparison. There's nothing that exists. Now, as a result of this way of looking at it, the Ran has some very interesting, brings an interesting machlokes rishonim about what happens if the way the father gave this right to the son was by shtar. So I understand if the ma'isa kinyan that he did was he picked something up, or he did a kinyan chazaka or something like that. The act of the ma'isa kinyan doesn't exist anymore. There's nothing that exists 30 years later. So I understand there's nothing to make it happen again in 30 years from now. But if you give a shtar, the shtar does exist or could exist 30 years later. So why doesn't it work? So the Ran brings a machlekes rishonim whether or not a shtar will work. Although the Ran himself holds that it doesn't, that it won't work by a shtar either. Right, that's what the Rashba says. But the Rashba says the shtar would work. But the Ran himself says no, it's not going to work because and he has actually a very technical reason why a shtar won't work. Because your whole argument here is that there's no kinyan in existence by the time of the transfer, but the shtar does exist. So why isn't that a problem? So he says because ain't shtar la'achar misa. So he says, so the Ran really has a technical reason, because what's going to happen is it's going to go to the grandchild as a Yerusha 30 years later. It's la'achar misa. It's after the father already died, and a contract is not valid after. You can't do a ma'isa, a contract, a transfer by contract after the person dies. It's a technicality. It's not a timing issue. It's a technicality when a person dies that the rights of a dead person don't transfer into a shtar after he dies.
It was a property for the 30.
Now the Gemara just changes for one other thing. So Amar Rava, L'Rav Nachman. According to Rav Nachman, that says it does work. He says, "V'hamas matanas beis chayrin." That's our mission. The story with the son who wanted his father to come to the chasana, right? Matanas beis chayrin to kani amanas lahaknesu. That he, when he was giving it to that other friend, that third party, he was giving it for the purposes of giving it to the father, so that the father, so to speak, can take from the chasana. V'loy kani, v'loyko kani. And the Mishnah's halacha clearly is that it doesn't work. So we have a beferish Mishnah Now, Rav Nachman can't argue on a Mishnah. We have a Farish Mishnah that the concept of giving it to one person for the sole purposes of giving it to somebody else, right? That's the whole case of our Mishnah, was he wanted to give it to his third-party friend so that his friend could give it to the father, and the Mishnah paskens, that doesn't work. So we see that Kani Amanas Lahaknais, that's, you know, if you want to glean from the Mishnah, we see Kani Amanas Lahaknais doesn't work. So Zimnin Amarle Mishum Desudasa Mechachas Olav. Sometimes Rav Nachman answered that the Suda's Muchachas, the Zimnin, and sometimes he gave him a different answer, Amarle Rav Elazar, he is going according to Rav Elazar, Damar Afilu Vitor Osir B'Mudur Hano. And he says that it's going according to Rav Elazar, that it's Osir. Okay, now, these two Terutzim have nothing to do with each other, so let's do one at a time. The first Terutz is that the Suda Muchachas Olav, he says, in the case of the Suda, the Ran has a little bit of a complicated answer, explanation over here. He says that the Beis Chayrin, when he gave it to him, with the understanding that it should go to the father. And since, so to speak, when somebody makes a chasana and invites people to the chasana, it's normal for a father to come to his son's chasana. So who is the father really taking from? The father isn't interested in going to that third party, that other guy's chasana. If the father's coming, he's coming because it's his son and his grandson that's getting married, which means he's really taking from his father. That's the way the Ran learns Muchachas Olav. That who am I really taking from? I'm really taking from my son, and the third party is just there as a straw man, as a middleman who's not really taking anything at all, and therefore it's going to be usher. As opposed to over here, on the contrary, as opposed to where the father is giving his grandchild a Yerusha, he actually wants it to go through the son. It's normal for it to go through the son, and therefore it's the Kani Amanahas Lahaklis works. Meaning, again, I'm not talking about Isser Neder here. I'm talking about the concept of Kinyan. Yeah. So the Kinyan of the father coming to take, who is the father really taking from? He's really taking from his own son. He's not taking from that third party. Which means the third party never was really koina. It's really going directly from the son making the chasana to his father. And if it's going directly, the middleman is just a blip. And is nothing. It's not really a kinyan. That's why the kinyan, in that case, a matnas beis chayrin, doesn't work. As opposed to over here, when it's going through Yerusha, it's not a blip that it's going through his bad son. Yes, it's true that he may set it up so that his bad son is not taking it, because he doesn't want his bad son to have hanoah from after he stole everything. He doesn't want his bad son to have everything. But at the end of the day, it's not a blip that the bad son is actually the Yerush. He's supposed to be the Yerush. And then when he gives it to his own son, it's supposed to happen that way. This is the way the Ran is Mazur. It's a little bit of a tricky explanation. So he's saying that therefore, when it's the so to speak, that moment in the middle that it belonged to the bad son, that was supposed to happen. So therefore that Kenyan Amanas Lahaknas is a real Kenyan for the purposes of giving it to somebody else. As opposed to the Chasana wasn't really a real Kenyan. Because the guy was just a middleman for no real purpose. Yeah. It's a straw man. He has no real purpose whatsoever other than to be there in the middle. So that's why it's not a real Kenyan. So the two cases are not comparable. Mm-hmm. That's the first teretz of the Gemara. The second teretz was...
What was it?
Very interesting. The Ran says that Rebbe Lozer says this halacha that Vitor doesn't work. That Vitor doesn't work. What does that mean, that Vitor doesn't work? That means that when there are certain things where people just, you know, naturally do it anyway, nobody really cares, nobody makes a big deal about it. Like the examples that we give is when you walk into a bakery, they give out a cookie. Nobody cares about that. Or another example is that people don't mind if you walk on their grass. Right? Most normal people, they don't mind if they had to, you know, if somebody walks across their lawn. Okay, it happens. Vitor is mutter. Now, Rabbi Lozer has a very interesting halacha that when it comes to nedarim, if I make a neder, I specifically am makbid on those things that the average person is not makbid on. So therefore, and so we see, so the way the Ran learns like this, it has nothing to do with this halacha. It's just a concept. The concept is that we see by the concept of nedarim, people are makbid, are more machmir than they would be in their normal, average, everyday life. So if I'm being makbid on you walking on my grass, then I'm going to be makbid that I don't want that this. Then I'm going to be makbid that if I'm going to give a matana, it has to be a real matana. So the matnas beis chayrin doesn't work not because halachically there's an issue with kinyanim or anything like that. It doesn't work because you're dealing with nedarim. And once you're dealing with nedarim, the idea of nedarim is that we have to be super, we're going to be super stringent. And we're going to be super stringent over here also, so we're not going to allow this kinyan to matnas beis charan to work. Again, so the Ran learns, it's not this viter halacha that has anything to do with the specific halacha over here. It's just an example of showing us that we're makbid by nedarim, we take it to a bigger extreme. Okay. And then lastly, the Gemara finishes off like this. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, and this is the words of our Mishnah, Amru Chachamim, the last words of the Mishnah are, the Chachamim say, Kol Matono, She'ena, any matana that if you didn't give it, she'im hekdisha tehem ukdesh, is to allow the person, the recipient, to make it hekdish. Ena matana, that means you never really gave it to him in the first place. Now, we use the word kol. Every time that happens. Kol asuyemai. When we say every time, we don't mean necessarily one example specifically. We mean in general. There has to be a general rule. So if it's a general rule, what other case is it coming to include? So the Gemara says, my lav la'asuyemai milsu deshade bekipi. Must be that it's coming to include this case of the son, the bad son, and we see that the rule is, since it wasn't really given to him that he could use it in the way he wants, it's not considered a matana. So we should really conclude, not like Rav Nachman, that it shouldn't work, because the bad son, did not have full control over what he was getting. So we see that should not be a good example. To which the Gemara says, loy, really we could paskin like Rav Nachman, and so what is the word kol coming to include? La'asuye lishna basra d'shmaitza d'rava. It's coming to tell us this, it's coming to include that second version of Rava, what Rava said before. Now if you recall on Amud Aleph, in the bottom of Amud Aleph, when we did that lishna achrina, I told you pay attention because this is going to be the last line of the Gemara. So this is what it's referring to. If you look back on Amud Aleph, Rava had two versions, and let's just focus on the second version. The second version that Rava says, I don't have to say, when I did this whole story and I was giving it to the third guy so that my father can come, he says, it doesn't mean only if I told him I'm giving it to you so that my father could come. It could also include the case, this is what Rava's point was, it could also include the case where you say, I'm giving it to you, you do what you want. It would be very nice if my father would come, or everybody understands that my father's going to come. But I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just simply mentioning to you that I'm giving it to you to avoid my problems. And you do whatever you want. So Rav is saying even that case is considered that the guy really doesn't have full control. He's still, because you're still expecting him and insisting that he make a su'uda. I didn't tell you that the purpose of the su'uda is that my father should come, but I'm still giving it to you really only for the sole purpose that you should make the su'uda. And what happens, happens. So Mamela, since that's another example where that if I didn't give a matana with full flexibility, with full liberty to do what I want to do with the matana, so then that's not considered a matana. So that explains the word kol, because it's not just the case of the Mishnah where I said beferish, I'm giving it to you for my father. It also includes the case, even if I didn't say it's beferish by my father, but it's obvious what I'm trying to do over here. Okay, so that takes us to the end of the perek. Hajan aloch, hashutfin. That's the end of the fifth perek. We'll stop over here.